think talcum powder, and you're likely to picture chortling babies and smiling moms changing diapers. Nothing seems more safe and wholesome, and indeed many women use talc daily as well for feminine hygiene and after showering.
Shower to shower, marketed to women, a sprinkle a day keeps odor away. And Johnson's Baby Powder, which is more than 100-year-old product, one of the legacy original products of the Johnson & Johnson Company.
That's Myron Levin, founder of Fair Warning, a news site that focuses on public health, safety, and environmental questions. He's just written an article about long-held concerns about talc's possible association with ovarian cancer and the hundreds of lawsuits filed on behalf of women or their survivors against Johnson & Johnson. Myron Levin joins us now. He says these studies go back a long way.
Yes, at least to the early 70s when a British study, actually in 1971, reported that an analysis under microscope of 13 ovarian tumors found talc particles in 10.
And since then, there have been a number of studies in the U.S. and in Europe as well, I gather.
Yes, that's true. There have been a number of studies beginning in 1982 and many others to follow, which not universally, but in most cases, certainly have found that women who use talc for feminine hygiene have higher rates of ovarian cancer than women who don't. On average, about a 35% higher risk.
That's a significant risk if you use talcum powder. But those studies don't offer a mechanism for this or prove that it's causal. So what are the ideas here?
Well, the idea is, first of all, that the talc can travel through the genital tract to the ovaries, and that the inflammation that then is caused by talc particles being deposited there leads to cancer.
Talk to me, Myron, about the statistics on ovarian cancer and what proportion could possibly be linked to talc.
They're in the neighborhood of 21,000 cases diagnosed in the United States every year, and about 14,000 people die a year. Researchers who believe there is a definite causal link say that use of talcum powder could be the cause of up to 10% or in the neighborhood of 2,100 cases of ovarian cancer a year.
So this is an issue that goes back some 40 years. Why is it coming to the fore today?
Well, as you know, much of what constitutes our regulatory system in this country now is the civil courts. Decisions probably that should be made somewhere else are resolved by people filing lawsuits against major companies and scientists and experts being arrayed on both sides to argue about what the evidence is. And that's why this has happened. There was a lawsuit that was tried to a verdict in 2013. A woman named Deanne Berg, who had ovarian cancer, asserted that a significant cause was her use over many years of talc powder for feminine hygiene, sued Johnson & Johnson. The jury found that Johnson & Johnson was liable for not warning of the risk of ovarian cancer, but strangely awarded no damages to Deanne Berg.
What do you make of this verdict?
It's kind of mystifying, isn't it? She was stage 3. Her prognosis was very bad, but she's doing very well, and so she didn't die, okay? But she certainly suffered financial losses from missed work, from medical bills, a tremendous amount of pain, some permanent loss of feelings in her hands and feet, some hearing loss. And so if you find that they should have warned her and they didn't, you would think that they would give her some money. We tracked down the jury foreperson and asked her about this, and she just said that we thought they should have put a warning on, but we did not believe that the medical evidence was so persuasive that we concluded that her cancer actually was caused by her use of talc.
How many cases are now pending against Johnson & Johnson by women who feel that they were exposed to things that led to ovarian cancer as a result of using the J&J products?
They're in the neighborhood of 700, most of them in St. Louis and in New Jersey, where Johnson & Johnson is headquartered. But the numbers are still going up, so there probably will be more.
How are the folks bringing these claims addressing the mechanism question?
Well, they did offer theories about how it happened in the Berg case. That's the only case that's been tried. But proving things to a scientific certainty is not necessarily required in a civil trial. It has to be more probable than not in the minds of a jury that harm was caused by the defendant. So even if that isn't proven to the satisfaction of Johnson & Johnson or to many scientists, it doesn't mean that they're home free.
What's Johnson & Johnson's argument when it comes to this association?
Johnson & Johnson says talc powder does not cause ovarian cancer, so we had no reason to warn. They say that there's no biological mechanism for causation proven, and the types of studies generally that found a higher risk introduced what's called recall bias, because people who have an illness or any kind of adverse health outcome tend to remember exposures or habits or things they did better than people that are healthy. So it makes it appear, in other words, that more people who have ovarian cancer, you know, use these products than didn't.
What regulatory bodies have determined that talc may in fact be carcinogenic?
IARC, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is part of the World Health Organization, considered this in 2005 and 6 and came to a finding that talc was what they call a 2B possible human carcinogen when used in this manner. There's a lot of products that are in that category, and so the industry has tried to sort of dismiss this as being insignificant, but they were very, very upset when this happened. Basically, what IARC said was that there's a remarkable consistency of these epidemiological studies. On the other hand, confounding factors and biases can't be ruled out. But other agencies have considered this and decided to make no finding because there wasn't enough evidence.
And what attracted you to this particular story?
You know, we're in a world of very ominous sounding, unpronounceable chemicals. What could be seemingly less ominous than talc? It's only four letters. We put it on babies' bottoms. It's in all manner of industrial products as well as consumer products that are used up close and personal. You just sort of have no idea, if you're the ordinary consumer, that there might be a risk here.
Myron Levin is founder of the investigative journalism site Fair Warning. Thanks so much for taking the time today, Myron.
Well, thank you.
There is more information about the suspected links between talc and ovarian cancer, Johnson & Johnson's statement, and Myron Levin's reporting at our website, loe.org.